Hello, Stefan. Can you please introduce yourself and your job at Cashbasket Lab?
Hello, my name is Ștefan Tănase. I come from Bucharest, Romania, and I'm a senior security researcher at the Global Research and Analysis Team at Kaspersky Lab.
Okay, Stefan, by the end of the 2013, how many new malicious software comes up every day?
Oh, it's very hard to count them during a year, but every day right now we detect around 200,000 new and unique malicious software samples, viruses, trojans, worms, etc. This basically means around 2 new ones every second.
Okay, as everyone knows, most of this software targets the Windows platform and also the programs running on it, right?
That's true. Windows is the most targeted platform nowadays, by far. Of course, we are seeing advancements in other emerging platforms like Google's Android and Apple's OS X. But still, cyber criminals are mostly concentrating on Windows because that's where they get the most return on investment, because Windows has the majority of the market share.
And also the popular programs running on Windows targeted by these hackers or the malicious software stuff, right?
What cyber criminals are doing in order to infect computers can be divided by two different strategies. They either use social engineering, they try to exploit the human mind, so to say, or they use technical exploits that take advantage of some vulnerabilities in vulnerable applications, which users are not updating.
And these applications are really famous. Can you give some examples of that?
Well, the number one application which is guilty for most of the web infections nowadays is Java. Java is a very common plugin. Mostly everybody has it in their browsers. And actually, our recommendation is, if you do not need Java, it's better to completely uninstall it, because there are updates almost every few weeks. And as long as you don't install the latest updates, then you are at risk of being infected.
What about Windows Update? Various or malicious software can spread through the Windows Update?
That's not a very, let's say, common scenario. There were cases in the past, for example, with the Flame malware that was very active in the Middle East, and it was discovered in 2012. Flame managed to do a man-in-the-middle attack against Windows Update, but these are, let's say, the exceptions, not the rule. And an attacker sophisticated enough to be able to pull off an attack as complex as this one probably needs some very massive resources behind. So it's probably a government, a nation state somewhere. It's not just a cyber criminal operating from his bedroom.
Okay, so digital signatures are safe, but it's not 100% safe, right?
Digital signatures, they are safe, but of course the private keys for digitally signing these things can be stolen. So it's very important for software producers to heavily secure their private certificates, because we've seen cases in the past where for example hardware manufacturers were hacked and the keys for signing their drivers were stolen, and then a few months afterwards you see malicious files which are digitally signed by with a certificate that is normally used to sign software drivers. So it's software companies should put a very high emphasis on securing their certificates.
Okay, so what about the online banking? Many people start using online banking now, and with the smart devices we are also using these online banking programs on our mobile phones.
Well, most banks are using mobile phones as a second factor authentication. So basically they send you a code on the mobile phone that you use to authenticate to the online banking system on your computer. This is why cyber criminals that are doing online banking fraud, right now they are both working on infecting Windows computers, but also on infecting the phones that those users are using to receive the SMS messages from the banks. So this is one area in which cyber criminals are targeting mobile phones. Another area is they're distributing adware through pirated applications. So this is a very common threat in the Android ecosystem, because there are many people around the world who do not want to pay for the applications, so they go on underground websites and forums to download these applications, and most of the times the applications are binded with a trojan or with some adware.
What about the hardware? Many banks also using the hardware tokens to generate random numbers to make more secure the transactions or the online banking system considered safe.
Well, it's definitely it should be the standard for online banking transactions, and in many countries in the world, mostly all of the banks have implemented such a system. But the reality is that the common online banking malware that we're seeing right now, families like Zeus, like Carburp, like SpyEye, for example, all of these are capable of bypassing these two-factor authentication system with hardware devices. And they are able to bypass them through a very simple strategy, which is called the man-in-the-browser attack. So what they do is they inject some malicious code into your browser. So whenever you're actually thinking you're paying your bills, for example, you're paying your electricity bills, and you're authorizing those bills, the malware is capable of dynamically changing the account number in which you are transferring the money. So whenever you sign a transaction and you think you're sending money to a friend of yours or to pay for a service, you are actually sending the money directly into the cyber criminal's account.
Okay, so your solution for that is Safe Money option. And how does it work?
Safe Money is a technology that Kaspersky has already implemented in its consumer products, and right now we're working to take it to the next step. When we're already started working with banks and to license it directly to banks, so that banks can then give it to their users either by subscription or for free, depending on the bank's business model. But what Safe Money does is making sure that the online payment, online financial transactions are safe by making sure that the three pillars of the whole procedure are secure, which means that we make sure that the site is secure by making sure that there's no phishing attack or the user hasn't followed the phishing link. Then we make sure that the connection between the computer and the site is secure by making sure there's no man-in-the-middle attack, nobody changed the certificate, or nobody is spoofing the DNS, DNS request. And last but not least, we're checking the security of the computer itself to make sure there are no viruses, no vulnerabilities, etc., etc. So these are the three pillars: securing the site, securing the connection, and securing the endpoint.
Okay. So this only works on Windows platform or also the mobile device like iOS device and Androids and Windows Phone?
Well, the core technology is for Windows platforms, but it also has some mobile components for making sure that the banks that are using mobile phones as two-factor authentication systems can also implement it.
Okay, we are always talking about money, but there's also much more important thing than money, which is intelligence. And last couple of years, we saw some good examples about stealing government-based information and sending through the maybe another country. What do you think about the cyber war?
Well, you know, a few years ago, if you would be talking about cyber espionage and cyber sabotage, people would have said that you are a conspiracy theorist and you're fantasizing. But, you know, after Stuxnet was discovered in 2010, then Dooku in 2011, Flame and Gauss last year, and this year it's already been a crazy year with really advanced cyber espionage operations being uncovered on a monthly basis by either by Kaspersky Lab or by other players in the industry. So what we can say right now is that cyber war is definitely real. All the countries in the world, I'm sure they are working on cyber defensive capabilities because they realize that this is an actual threat. And some of the most advanced countries are also working on cyber offensive operations if they've not already have implemented them for a long while now.
Okay, so is it impossible to track this cyber war or and where the attacks come from and what kind of information they want to steal?
It's not impossible to track them. It's not impossible to detect them. It's just much harder than with the regular traditional viruses and Trojans that we are used to, the ones created by cyber criminals. And this is because of the fact that nation states, they have a lot of resources to invest in this. And the toolkits that they create are very well developed. The vulnerabilities that they use are most of the times very new. They use zero-day vulnerabilities. And last but not least, and this is what is usually making it very hard to detect, is that whenever nation states launch a cyber espionage operation, they will not try to infect as many computers as possible. And throughout the history of this antivirus industry, companies like Kaspersky Lab have been used with trying to detect massive virus outbreaks, massive epidemics that infect hundreds of thousands or even millions of computers. But now we realize that these cyber espionage campaigns, they do not target hundreds of thousands of users. They usually target 100 users, or let's say maximum 1,000. So when it's such an advanced operation that you can only find it on 100 computers around the world, that's what making what is making it very hard to track it down. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. But it's not impossible, and we are proving this every year, and other companies as well are proving the same thing with their discoveries.
Okay, Stefan, thank you for your time.
Okay, teşekkür ederim.